We're holding on Samachet on the days, about three quarters of the way down the Omer, the line begins, the beginning of the line, it's Shadre. We're in the middle of the story, David and Samachet and Aleph. Shlomo HaMelech was trying to find out where the Shamir is. He gets two Shadim, they tell him that maybe our king Ashmedai knows, so he asks for what's his daily habits. Finds out this whole business that we said yesterday. He has a well full of water which he keeps sealed up, except when he needs to drink from it. He goes and learns in the Masifta Derekia and the Masifta on Earth, and then he comes back, finds as long as it's untouched, then he goes and drinks from it. Shadri was Benayahu ben Yehoyada. So Shlomo HaMelech sent Benayahu ben Yehoyada, who was one of his top advisors or generals or whatever, to capture him. He gave him a chain which had the name of Hashem engraved on it, the iskasa de chokka l'ashem, and a ring that had Hashem's name engraved on it, ugvobi de amra, as well as hanks of wool, large pieces of wool that you can use like to stuff something up.
Is it a silver chain?
It doesn't say what the chain was made out of. Yeah, some kind of chain. Yeah. So hanks of wool, viziki de chamra, and wine skins full of wine. Also, so Ashmedai got there to, not Ashmedai, Benayahu got there to this mountain. Also, kora berim tatoi. Now he couldn't just go and break open the seal because then Ashmedai and then replace. He wants to be able to give him wine instead to get him drunk, as we'll see. But if he just opens up the thing, then Ashmedai will realize it's been tampered with. He's not going to drink from it. So he dug a pit further down on the slope of the hill for Shafin Lamaya. Then he not filled up. He led the water out. He emptied out the water from the bottom of Ashmedai's well. He dug. You have here. Here's Ashmedai's well originally. He dug a well. He dug another pit a little further down the hill. Made a hole going from here to here, so now all the wine goes and then flows out into his new pit that he made. All the water flows out. He emptied out all the water. He filled up the hole. He blocked up the hole with the pieces of wool. Then he dug another pit further up on the slope of the mountain. He poured the wine into this new hole, the taminu, and then he closed up. And he closed up the hole. So this way, when he puts wine into the upper one, it'll flow into the middle one, which is Ashmedai's original pit. But then it won't flow out any further. It'll stay there.
But he made a tunnel from the
Yeah, he made a tunnel from the top one to the middle one, and from the middle one to the bottom one, and then he used the pieces of wool to stuff it up to prevent it. Okay. So look, Yosef Bilama, and he waited, and he sat up and waited in a tree to wait for Ashmedai to get back. Also, when Ashmedai got back, Sire the Gushpanka, he checked his seal, it was untouched, okay, so far so good. Galye, he opens up the pit. Ashkechech Amre, he finds his wine in there. Omar, he says to himself, so now Marshall says he didn't think that somebody had replaced the wine with water, because he figured that with the water with wine. He figured the seal was untouched. Can't be. Must be there's a nest, that somehow the wine got turned
into... the tunnel.
No, he didn't figure out the tunnels, but he realized, maybe, he said, maybe Minashamayim, maybe the water was changed into wine. Okay, but Omar, he says to himself, see, you have a pasuk in Mishlei, late Hayayin, wine is a mocker, like it makes a mockery of a person when he drinks it, Homa Shecher, strong drink is noisy, like it makes a person, it confuses a person, and anybody who gets too involved with it is not going to become wise, so it's not a good thing to drink. You have another pasuk in Tanakh, Znus, v'yayin v'tira shikachlei. Znus and wine and fresh wine takes away a person's heart.
Does he know that? He's a
shed? He said he lived in the Masifta Derekia.
So that's the point.
No, that's the point. So he learns in the Yeshiva Shalmaila and the Yeshiva Shalmata. So yeah, actually, Tosfos points out a different detail. Mela, the pasuk in Mishlei, okay, Mishlei is written by Shlomo HaMelech, so it already existed at that time. The pasuk, the pasuk is Znus, v'yayin v'tira shikachlei, is from Hosea, who lived a couple hundred years later. Because we find the general thing throughout Shas that even if the pasuk wasn't written, they already knew the concept. And so it just brings from some other places in Shas where we have such things. Yeah.
So we cite the pasuk.
No, we're citing the pasuk. He knew what the pasuk is destined to say, basically. So he didn't want to drink. But he got thirsty. He couldn't stand it anymore. And various proportions talk about he couldn't just go get water from someplace else because he had to drink after this water. So he drank some of it. some of them before, should bring actually that on the side of it, he would bring that he thought to himself, you know what, I have an excuse. Look, after all, you have a positive until him that says that wine is a good thing, it makes you happy. So he drank and he got drunk. He got drunk, but gone, and he fell asleep. Nochitz Osa, so Benayahu came down from the tree, shot a bishop's shoulder, he put the chain around him while he's asleep, Sasme, and he closed it up around his neck so he can't get his head out. Ki Itar, so now when Ashwin woke up, have a come of him, he all of a sudden realizes there's a chain on him, have a come of paladin, he's trying to break out of the chain. Amalei, so Benayahu called him, Shmodemorachaloch, the name of your master of Hashem is on you. In other words, understand that you're under my control now because I have the power of Hashem with me, which is and you're answerable to Hashem also.
But he had it before.
What do you mean? Yeah. No, the point is by putting the chain on him, yeah. He's putting him under his power. And then the fact that the name of Hashem is on there, you can't just go break out of such a chain. It's not Nerach HaNes. The Maharal talks about throughout the whole story, the Maharal has explanations, a bit symbolic explanations of what's going on over here. He says that, for example, the idea is that the chain and the ring represent the two ways in which a person is close, in which a person is close with Hashem. A person is made in Tzelem Elokim, a person is made in the image of Hashem, that's represented by the ring, like a stamp. And also a person connects himself to Hashem, like a chain by which you're connected to Hashem. So by putting those on Ashmedai is like showing him people, we human beings, even though in a certain way we're lesser than you, we don't have as much power as you, etc. But on the other hand, we have that power that we're close with the Eidishtin, which you don't. So you've got to respect that. And about the water and the wine, he says that the whole explanation of it is that Shadim are like more one-dimensional creatures, so their usual drink is water, as opposed to people are multi-dimensional, and therefore their usual drink is wine, which is more complex and in flavor and whatever, and by replacing the water with wine, is basically like sort of putting him down to human level, sort of, and therefore he can overpower him. So as Benayahu was taking him by the chain and leading him along, Matadikla, they came by a palm tree, Ashmedai rubbed against it, Shadir knocked it down. Matalabe, so they came to a house, Shadir, and also he knocked it down. Yeah. Matagavikuvadai Yarmalta, then they came to a hut from a poor widow, Nafka Ichananale, so she came out and pleaded with him, please move away, please don't brush by, so you
keep it from getting in there.
What do you mean? No, a shed is a powerful creature. So when he rubbed against that tree, it fell down. When he rubbed against the house, as he's walking, it fell down. The Maharal explains that shaded by nature are destructive creatures. Maharal says also that a tree and a large house both represent like a certain amount of gaiva, like shaded are against that kind of thing, so therefore he knocked him down. But now this poor Amana comes out and pleads with him to leave my hut alone. Don't knock it down. Couple of came up to me and he said, okay, he bent over to go by without rubbing against it. It's by Mekar, and as he's doing that, as he's turning, suddenly he broke a bone. Oh, no, he said, I know this, Steve, this is like the pastor says. A bone of his own. He turned, he twisted his body in some unusual way for him and broke something. Oh, no, he said, I know this, the Lashon Raka, the Tishvar Gorim. Thus we see the truth of what the pasuk says, that a soft tongue breaks a bone. Like her soft tongue, that she pleaded with me to leave her alone, that caused me to break a bone. Continues the story. Chazasamya, they have a katoy baruch. He saw, as they're walking along, Ashmedai saw a blind person who doesn't know which way to go on the road. Askeluch, he helped him go on the right. He helped him go the right way. He saw a drunk person who was also, he didn't know which way to go. Askeluch, he also helped him which way to go. He saw they had a wedding where everybody is being very happy. And he started crying. Well, we'll see later on the Amud. Benayahu was going to ask him about all these things. So the first two, that he knocked down the tree and the house, that, okay, it's shaded by nature or destructive. He didn't ask him about these, but all these, yeah, he's going to ask him about later. Then he hears a person saying to a shoemaker, make me shoes that will last for 7 years. And Ashmedai started laughing at that. Chazarahu Kosna, to have a Kosim. Then he saw a magician who was doing magic tricks. Also Achich, also he laughed. Achich means he laughed. When they finally got to Shlomo HaMelech's palace, they didn't bring him into Shlomo's presence for 3 days. Again, Maharal has a whole symbolic explanation about this, about the difference between human beings and malachim. Like you have to demonstrate the difference between people and malachim, kind of. They did not bring him into Shlomo's presence at Tlosijay for 3 days. On a simpler level, you could just say, like, okay, you brought him, you want to let him cool down a little bit before you bring him in. So the first day, Ashpenai asks his handlers, "How come the king's not bringing me in to see him?" Amrulay, they told him, "Ansiya Mishtia, he drank too much."
Okay.
No,
from the original time.
No. What? No, this is Shlomo Amalek we're talking about now. Before it was Ashpenai drank wine from his pit. Now he's saying Shlomo drank. Shokol avein sa'oisa b'chavra. So Ashpenai, in response to that, took a brick and put it on top of another brick. Also, Amalek the Shlomo, they came and told Shlomo what Ashpenai did. What is that supposed to symbolize? Amalek, what he's telling you is like this: Hader Ashkiyua, give him more to drink. Like putting one brick on top of another. He drank some, give him more to drink. That'll help him. Yeah. The next day, knew, why isn't the king letting me into his presence yet? Amalek, I'm Sinecha. They said he ate too much. He took one brick and put it, he took the one brick off the other and put it on the ground. Also, Amalei l'Shlomo, they came and told Shlomo Amalech, Amalehu, he says, Hachi, Amalehu. Again, Shlomo was a Chacham Mikol Adam, he was the wisest of all men. He understood the symbolism in what Ashpenai is doing. He says, Hachi, Amalehu, he's trying to tell you about that. Gidu minei mechle, take away the food from him. So again, Maharal explains that the drinking represents the effect that food has on a person's seichel. The extra food represents the effect that it has on a person's body. So like in seichel and body, people are different than shaden. Finally, after 3 days, they brought Ashpenai in to see Shlomo. Shoko kanyo moshach abro gavidi. Ashpenai took a stick, measured out with it 4 amos, v'shoda kamei, and he threw it down on the ground in front of Shlomo. Amalei, he says to him, I'm upset with you. Mechti, ki ma'isahu gabra, look at it this way. When that person, meaning you, eventually dies, lesle v'hadenam, eladalat gavidi, all you're going to have in this world is going to be 4 amos. Hasha kavashti l'kula alma, so what is it now? You conquered the whole world, but like sabadat to kavashti namali bi'i, and you're not satisfied until you conquer me as well? What's this whole business that you had Benayahu bring me over here in chains and so forth? Amalei, so Shlomo tells him, like haba'ini menach midi, and I don't need anything from you as the king of the Shadim. I don't need to rule over you. But if Neil of Esamikdash, I need to build the Esamikdash, I need the Shamir. I'm told that you know where it is. That's why I had you brought here. Amalei, so Ashpenai tells him, "Ludi le masuli." It actually wasn't given over to me. Lasoda the yamer masuli. It's given over to the Tsar of the seas, to the Malach in charge of the seas. He himself, he usually keeps it in his possession. The only one he'll give it to, the only one he'll lend it out to, is to the wild rooster, to Mehemen le'ashvuasei, because he can be trusted with his shvuah. The wild rooster promises to return it, and he knows that he can hold him to that.
The wild rooster is a specific animal.
It's a specific creature, actually. It's I'm going to quote in a couple of lines from Targum Onkelos. One of the trefa birds that's listed in the Torah, it was actually in today's speech from Rambam as well, one of the trefa birds listed in the Torah is the duchifas. Rashi explains over there that duchifas in English is a bird that in English is called the hoopoo. It looks like a wild chicken, but with a big showy double over crest on its head. So the Targum Onkelos translated as Nagar Turo, which is what the Gemara is going to call it in a couple of lines. Yeah. Okay. Well, my
Omer.
H-O-O-P-O-E. Hoopoo. I don't know how it's pronounced. Yeah, whatever. Okay. Well, my Omer, what does this Tarnagur Labora, what does this hoopoo do with the Shamir? Mamtile the Turid Lesbuhu Yeshu. He takes it to mountains where there's no settlement yet, barren mountains. Umanachla Shina the Turid. He puts it on the peak of the mountain, Upaka Turid. So the mountain splits, because that's the property of the Shamir, is the split stone. That's the whole reason Shlomo needed it in the first place. Umankit Maisi Bizarni Milani. Now this bird goes and brings seeds from trees. And he throws them and plants them over there. And eventually it becomes a settled place. Eventually you have trees and so forth. Eventually it becomes a new ecological system over there. Behind it, the Targumin and Nagotura, and thus we see that in Targum Onkelos, the taich of this bird Duchifas is Nagotura, which means literally the carpenter of the mountains. He takes the shamir and uses it to carve up mountains and make them into habitable areas.
Nagari the carpenter.
I saw actually they have out here that whole series of shirim ala gobet hashach. He wants to say actually that nagar has a different meaning as well. Nagar also means a bolt, like a bolt, like he sticks into the ground.
Okay, bolt of the mountain.
So the bolt of the middle, because he makes the mountains into he's like a bolt that makes it into like makes it into something that's settled, like it makes it into something permanent. Like now it can become a habitable area. Okay, I don't know. Anyway. Okay, so you'll find the shamir. In short, you'll find the shamir with the town of Gobara. But Kukinid is a town of Gerlabara, the Isleboni, so they looked for a nest of a town of Gerlabara, of this bird, that has children, that has chicks in the nest. For Chafuya, Lakine, Zugisachu, Chirartia, they took a piece of clear glass, and covered the nest with it. Kiosa, so now when the mother bird, or father bird, whatever, when the parent bird, whatever, comes back to the nest, Boilamel, it wanted to go to get into the nest, well, Lemotiyadol, it couldn't get in because of the glass. Aiti Shamir, he took the Shamir and put it on the glass to crack it open. Ramavekola, the messenger, whether it was Benayahu or somebody else, the messenger yelled at the bird. Shadye, so it dropped it out of fright. Shakle also, and the messenger took the shamir and went. When the bird realized that it had lost the shamir and couldn't return it to Sarayam anymore, Chonak Nafshe Ashvuasi, he choked himself because of his shavua. Now, why is that? Marshall says, because what's the whole reason why the Eidrish didn't want, up until now, the Shamir should be by human beings? It's by the Sar Shoyam, where the Maharal points out the Yam is like the polar opposite of cultivable areas. This town of Gerlabara lives out in desert areas or whatever. Why up it's by them? So the Marshall explains, because the concern that they had was that people could use the Shamir to split the world apart. Imagine, I once saw, actually, when we learned at the end of Sota that the Shamir is kept in a lead tube, I mentioned that somebody wants to say that maybe it was a radioactive material, you see what people are...
Could it be fixed stone or...
Apparently it could split any hard object. It could split any hard object. We saw here the bird tried to use it to split glass. So that's what the Gemara says over there at the end of Sota, that they used to keep it in fleeces, in soft fleeces, inside a lead tube. Yeah.
So it wouldn't,
because it can't split soft things like a fleece, yeah. Anyway, so the point is, Marshall says that the Sar Shalyam, and I guess also the town of Gerlabara, are concerned if people get a hold of the Shamir, they could use it to destroy the world. So once he realized that God had the human hands, then that's it. He figured the jig is up. Going back to Amalei B'nayo, so now B'nayo asks Hashmadai about the strange things that happened while I was bringing you here. My time Why, when you saw that blind person, did you help him get back on the road? Meaning, Marshall says, the point is, he figured Shadim by nature are destructive creatures. So they knocked down the house, they knocked down the tree, okay, that's normal for him. Why is it normal for you to help a blind person get back on the road? Who it has been announced in Shemayim that this person is a tzaddik gomer, and anybody who does him a favor, will be zeicha to elam haba. So I wanted to do that. What does a king of the shadim need elam haba for? Okay, akasha. Anyway. Okay. What about that drunk person? Is he also a tzaddik? Amalei, he says, no. Machzir alevi akir the rasha gomer. On the contrary, they announced on him in Shemayim that he's a total rasha. I did a favor for him. That way he can get his whatever bit of reward he's supposed to get in El Mahazah, and then he'll be able to have a complete whatever he needs to in the next world, a complete punishment in the next world. Yeah. My time, he asked him, why is it? Why, when you saw the wedding, were you crying? And Marshall says, the point is he's asking, what is it? You begrudge people their happiness. Omalei, no. Boy, Mamus Gabribus begoits Lossin Yemen, because I know, remember, a shed is like a half malach. So I know that this person, this chosin, is destined to die within the next 30 days. Boy, a minter, the Yovam Kotan, twice Rishnin. And what's going to happen, this Kala, who now is at her wedding and everything seems good, she's going to wind up, her chosin has a baby brother, she's going to wind up having to wait to do chalitza or yibum with him for another 13 years until he becomes a gadol, until he becomes a mitzvah and has shtei tiris. So for those two, he's going to die within 12 years. The chassan is going to die within 30 days. Well, boy, a mintel, a yavam chassan, talking to his rishonim. She is going to have to wait for this yavam chassan for 13 years. Because if he didn't have a little, we lived in Yavamas. If the chassan didn't have a brother yet, b'chalal, then that's it. She's potter, and actually the brother would be also to marry her. Once he's already born, then she's going to have to wait until he grows up, which means until he turns 13 and gets Stasiris. So that's what Ashwini is crying for these double things. Next, my time at Kishamislahu Gavir to Amalil Ushka for Ovidli Masani the Shevshnin. Why is it when you heard that guy tell the shoemaker, make me shoes for 7 years, Achichas, you laughed? Amalay, how is Shiva Yemelasle? That guy may not even live for 7 days. Masani the Shevshnin, boy, why does he need shoes for 7 years? No, it doesn't mean he's destined to die within 7 days. Rashi said, Ain't about two Achlichas Shiva Yem. How does he even know he's going to live for 7 days that he should be asking for shoes for 7 years? Actually, an interesting thing they point out. So what's the problem? Maybe he's getting shoes for seven that are good for 7 years, so he can yarshen them to his children. The answer is, it says in Sefer Chassidim, you're not supposed to use shoes that came from a dead person. So therefore, Mela, other clothes, if he was getting other clothes last him for years, okay, he could be bequeathing them to his children.
Shirts, for instance, yeah. Pass away and give it to his children?
Yeah. But then maybe not. No, not if it was on him when he died. That's different. We're not talking about that. But we're talking if it was in his closet or whatever. But if, like this, shoes that he's worn, if he wore them, right, as long as he wore them at some point during his lifetime, then yeah, yeah. So yeah. Next, my time at Kichazichelahu Kosma to have a Kosim Achichas. Why, when you saw that magician doing his magic tricks, you were laughing? Amalei, so Ashmedai tells him, Dava Yosef, Abbe Gaza de Marka. He's standing right there on top of an ancient treasure from some ancient king that was buried in the ground. Listen, my dear Satuse. As long as he's doing magic, let him be able to use his magic to figure out what's beneath him in the ground. That's what I was laughing at.
But he didn't understand.
That he didn't realize that it was all his magic. He didn't realize that there's a huge treasure right beneath his feet. Yeah. Which, you know, they talk about various musudika things that we see from the story, like, you know, people plan for the future, thinking, you know, they're going to live forever, like this guy with the shoes, and they, you know, people don't even know what's under their nose, and they claim they know everything in the world. Yeah, you know. Continues the story. So Shlomo Amalek kept Ashmedai around by him until he finished building the Beis Hamikdash.
Was that a remez to Shlomo Amalek that he wouldn't maybe live that long, or
maybe I don't know if necessarily, but
maybe.
Okay. So Shlomo Amalek kept Ashmedai around until he finished building the Beis Hamikdash. Why? Maybe he figured he'd still need his help. Okay. Yom Chad have a koy l'chudei. Now, one day they were alone together, Ashmedai and Shlomo. Amalei, so Shlomo asks Ashmedai, Ksiv. Now, you know, you have a pasuk, and there's the brachas of Bilam to the Jewish people. He says the pasuk says Kisoyafos Re'eim Loi. Look at the power of Hashem. He has Toyafos and he has Re'eim that he can use as his messengers to send for different missions. And we say that the meaning of those two words is Kesoyafos Eilam Malach Hashoros. The word Kesoyafos means the mighty Malach Hashoros. Toyafos literally means the ones who fly, because the Malachim fly. Re'eim Eilam Hashedim, and the word Re'eim refers to the Shedim. One thing is because the Re'eim has a very tall horn, so it represents the Shedim, who are like half on earth and half in heaven.
Literal translation
of Kesoyafos Re'eim means like the mighty lofty horn of the Re'eim. Like the metaphorically, Hashem's power is as great as the power of the mighty rain.
And in Tehillim, Re'eni.
Yes, Mekani Re'eni Mani Sani, same thing. Yeah. Okay, so the question is, in what way are you guys greater than us? The fact that the Pasuk is saying such a great thing that Hashem has Shadim at his disposal, what's so great about Shadim? Amalei, so Ashvedai tells him, Shkel Shav Shil Minai, take off the chain from me, the Havli is Kesach, give me your ring, and then I'll be able to show you my greatness. Then I'll be able to show you my power.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. Well, shockingly, yeah. This is where if there was a movie, there would be the ominous music playing. Yeah. Shockingly, the shushil to me, he took off the chain from him. He gave him his ring. Balei, he swallowed him. So Baal A, he swallowed him, would mean Shlomo. He swallowed him and then he spat him out sort of hundreds of parsa so away, as I was going to say. Or Baal A could mean he swallowed the ring. So either.
Right.
Okay. He put one ring on the heavens and one ring on the earth. Paske Avameh parsa, and he threw him 400 parsa. 400.
The ring?
No, the Shlomo. He threw Shlomo out of 400 parsa. Yeah. Which actually, for the symbolic thing of it, Maral and many other Mepharshim point out, 400 by 400 parsa is the size of Eretz Yisrael. So it represents that he threw him completely out of Eretz Yisrael.
Why did Shlomo Amelech, who was
So what happened over here? So Maharsha says the underlying thing, it's Maharsha and Haral both say, the underlying thing over here is we know that Shlomo did certain things wrong. There were certain mitzvahs of a king, the mitzvah not to have too many wives, not to have too much gold and silver, not to have too many horses. He felt with all these mitzvahs, and the Arab of Loy also, he felt it's okay. The Torah says, don't do them because of the consequences. I can be careful of the consequences, therefore I don't have to worry about them. That was why he was susceptible to Ashmedai. And that's actually Maral adds the detail in that. If it was just he had violated these Averis just got because of Taiva or whatever, okay, that's one thing. But what does he say? He's saying effectively these mitzvahs don't apply to me. He's saying as if like Hashem is not the boss of me in these things. Well then his punishment was that he's not the boss of his own country anymore. He's thrown out of his own country. Not really, but no, he meant it in a good way. He meant it that, you know, for example, I'll have many wives from the surrounding nations and I'll help bring them closer to Hashem. It's, you know, you could think of it as the sort of as an Aved Lashma, let's say, but still, it's wrong to do that. Allah, he shaita on Shlomo. It was about that time when Shlomo was thrown out of his kingdom that he said the Pasuk in Kehelet, my Yisra in the Adam, Mechol HaMole Sheyamol Tach LaShemesh. What advantage does a person have from all the work that he does under the sun? Meaning, I've been working, I had such a mighty kingdom, and now I've lost it all. And another Pasuk, he says in the next parak in Kehelet, he says, "V'zeh ho'yachelki mikol amoli." This is my whole portion from all my work. So my v'zeh, what's the v'zeh? What's the this that he can point to and say, "This is all I have left." Rabbi Shmuel had a makle v'chad a gundai. Rabbi Shmuel argued. One said that all he had left was a stick, and the other said that all he had left is gundai, which actually says gundai means his garment. And then he quotes from Rabbi Goin that actually it's not supposed to be gundai, but rather kudai, meaning his earthenware cup. So all he had left was that. A couple of interesting things they say about this. First of all, the Musa de Gavort, they say that the Gemara doesn't actually spell it out over here. The Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that in the end he was only king over his stick or over his garment or whatever. Even in those reduced circumstances, he's still a king. He still has his regal bearing. He's still, you know, whatever he has, even if it's a tiny thing, he's still a king.
And he never became king.
Wait. We'll get to it in a few lines, but wait. So this is all he has left. I saw an interesting thing about it. Why of all things does he have these things left? His staff, and according to Rashi, according to Rabbi Goin, his cup. Because we know the famous thing, Shlomo and his Beis Din made two takanos that are counted among the Shevim Mitzvot Rabbanon. The Mitzvah of Nefilas Yadayim and the Mitzvah of Eruvin. Nefilas Yadayim involves a cup. Eruvin involves a pole, the lassi or the koda that you put at the end of the mavri. Symbolically, therefore, that's why he was left with his stick and his cup. The Maharal has, a whole explanation about it, but it doesn't literally mean he was kicked out of the kingdom. What it means is that all of a sudden, the Maharal said that the ring and the chain represented the closeness that a person has to Hashem. Shlomo had gone down, he didn't have that closeness to Hashem anymore. He didn't have that chain connecting him to Hashem anymore. He didn't have that Selam Elokim to the same extent as before. He started deteriorating. So therefore, he's not an Eretz Yisrael, not Begashmius. Begashmius, his body is still there in Yerushalayim ruling. But on a Ruchniistic level, he's no longer on the level of Eretz Yisrael. And all he has left, all he has left is a stick or his garment. Maharal learns that it's the garment. All he has left is like the external trappings of his kingship. He has a stick, like from now on, he's not ruling over the people gently like he used to. He has to rule over them with a stick, like he better do what I say or I'm going to beat you. He's ruling over them with his garment in the sense like all he has left is a vestige of his malchus. Yeah. And basically the idea is that Ashmedai took over as king and nobody realized. So now he's begging by the doors. Wherever he went, he would quote he would say the phrase, which became afterwards in Sefer Kehelet, "I Kehelet, I was king over Yisrael in Yerushalayim." There, that's the "was" in the pasuk because he's saying, "I was king, and now I'm not." And everybody thought he's nuts. What do you mean? You're Shlomo. Shlomo is sitting there in Yerushalayim ruling. Eventually he came to the Sanhedrin. Amru Rabbanan, so the Rabbanan said to themselves, Mechti shoyte b'chodem milsa leisarech. You know what though, a shoyte doesn't stick to one thing. A shoyte, it's a nonsense, he'll say different things at different times. This guy is always saying the same thing. Ani kayela seyisi melech. My height, what's going on over here? He must not be a meshugana, there must be something actually going on over here. Amru leilu b'nayahu kaboylach ma'akul agabei. So they asked b'nayahu, has the king called for you recently? They asked specifically B'nayahu, because B'nayahu was the one who originally captured Ashpadai with the ring and the chain. Ashpadai would still be afraid of him. So if it is Ashpadai who took over, Itaka wouldn't have called him. He wouldn't call him in. Amr Lahu Lai. So he says, no. Things are getting suspicious. Shofalo lo makubasa. So they sent a message to the queens, the various wives of Shlomo. Kaasi malkut kapaychu. Has the king been coming to you lately? Shofalo ain kaasi. They said yes, he's been coming. Shofalo. So the Sanhedrin sent them back a message. In that case, bidku bakare. Check his feet. Shadim don't have feet.
Like regular feet.
David, he looked like Shlomo. He had the appearance of Shlomo. But Shadim don't have feet like people. Shadim's feet look like the feet of chickens. Why? Different portion of different symbolic explanations of it. Actually, I saw one interesting thing in Mamloyas on Pirkei Avos. I don't remember if this is his own poetry or if he got it from someplace. Since the Mishnah tells us the Shadim, the Mazik, you know, one of the things created Erev Shabbos, Be'nash Moshes, so to speak, like the Eved should have left one thing in them unfinished, so to speak, to show us. You know what? When Shabbos comes, your work is over. You haven't finished it? Doesn't matter. You drop it anyway. And to do that, they just demonstrated that for us by making the Shadim, so to speak, incomplete, like an incomplete feet. Okay, so check his feet. Shoholos, they sent back. Doesn't work. The Muki Kasi. He always comes to us in slippers. He never goes to sleep barefoot. And they say, we can see there's a problem over here. The Katabalahu Benidasayu, he's been propositioning us for relations even when we're Nidya. The Katabud Lonami, the Bathsheba Ime. And he's in propositioning his mother, Bathsheba, also. Something's wrong over here. Actually, there's an interesting thing that comes up in this in Halacha. In the Trubas of Maram Lublin and some other Sifri Halacha, it discusses the issue. If you have a woman who's had relations with a Sheb, apparently such things existed back in the day, does that make her also to her husband? Or Gemara is one of the things that bears on this, because so the women themselves wouldn't be also, they thought it was Shlomo Malach. But actually, Ben Yoyada asks, look, we said before, we learned on Omer Aleph, that Ashmedai used to learn the Masivta Dirakia. He's one of the kind of Shadim that the Zohar called Shadim Yehudoid, Jewish Shadim, which, and Al Tadeb explains in Tanya, represent the permitted typus that a person has, not the forbidden one. So what's he doing propositioning Shlomo's wives and his mother and so forth? He says, evidently, the implication from that is that a Shed is not also to do these things. He doesn't after them because they didn't know that it is. And he himself, as a Shed, is not also to do these things.
But even with people who are.
No, that's the thing. If they were doing it willingly, if they knew he was a Shed, then you could get into the discussion. The Maharam Lublin has, doesn't make them also. They didn't know, and for him, it's not an Isser. So now they realized, obviously, that's not Shlomo. It's an imposter. Asiyul Shlomo. So they brought back Shlomo. They gave him a ring and a chain that had Hashem's name engraved on them, which, besides the simple meaning, the Maharal says, also represents the idea. If the whole problem was that Shlomo had drastically fallen from his level so far that he's already on the level of, you know, asking for relations when he's nidya, when his wives are nidya and so forth, they had to reconnect him with the Eibishter, give him back a new chain and a new signet ring to reconnect him on the high level that he's supposed to be with the Eibishter.
That's exactly what he did to Ashmedai.
Yeah, that's the point. Ki ayol, and when he came back in Chazir, Ashmedai saw it, Parach, and he flew away in fear. Even though Ashmedai left, Shlomo HaMelech was still afraid of him. Thus the pasuk says, "Hine mitasa shel Shlomo." Here is the bed of Shlomo. Shishim geborim tzavim, lost 60 strong men around it. Migiborim Yisrael, from among the strong, mighty men of Israel. We say this in Kishma every night. All of them are holding swords. They're all expert. They're all expert in war. Each one has a sword on his thigh. Mipachad v'leilus, because of the fear at night. What fear at night? Shlomo is now afraid that Ashmedai may come and attack him. And Rav and Shmuel argue on what happened over here. Chadam a melech the hedyot. One says that he was a melech at first, and then he was a hedyot, he was a commoner, that he never returned to his kingship. But Chadam a melech the hedyot to melech. And the other one says, no, he was a king, then he was a commoner when Ashmedai kicked him out, and then he became a king again. Shlomo. Rav and Shmuel. One says one says the other. We don't clearly say who says which. But so what does that actually mean? Mepharshim have a lot of discussion about him, and the pasuk says he ruled for 40 years, and then he died and was buried in Yerushalayim, and Rechavim took over, etc. So what kind of the possibility that he didn't become king afterwards? So they talk about the possibilities. Maybe this whole story of Ashmedai happened. Ashur says maybe it only happened at the very end of his 40 years, so therefore like he lived most of his 40 years as king, and only like at the very end is he ahead yet. And Maharal and a number of other Mepharshim talk about it. It doesn't mean on a simple level, it means, did he ever go back to being on his original high level? Was he, even though the Sanhedrin gave him the new ring and the new chain, he didn't reach the spiritual level that he did before, especially including to rule over the Shadim, etc. Or did he maybe regain all that? Now the Gemara is getting back to, we started the whole discussion at the beginning of the parak. We started with remedies for kurdiyakos, and that brought us to remedies for fever and for chills, and that brought us into these various stories that we had. So now getting back to the remedies. Which we're going to have for the next block and a half. And again, we talked about the fact that the many Rishonim and Achronim say that you're not supposed to use these remedies. They worked only in those days. The Gemara doesn't give us all the details. The Chavos Yoreh, for example, says the Gemara doesn't give us all the details for each remedy necessarily. If you use them and they don't work, you may come to think the Chachamim don't know what they're talking about.
When Mashiach comes.
Maybe. Meanwhile, we have the deeper meanings to them. And with all that said, Rav Shuda Goyen writes, and Rav Avraham ben Arambam writes, that no, he says that not necessarily. I mean, these things, the Chachamim recorded the medical knowledge that they knew. The Rav Shuda and Rav Avraham say, not necessarily are these, it's not like they have these things with Kabbalah, that they're part of, they're an essential part of Torah. The Chachamim recorded what the medical science of their time, basically. Okay, but they all have deeper meanings. Anyway. So you want to start now. The Dhamma Dira, and actually the Malbim points out one other connection between this and the previous Gemara. We're saying that Shlomo is still afraid of Ashvadai. One thing he's afraid of is he may get attacked by him with these various diseases, and therefore he needed the remedies for them. Okay. So Gemara starts off. The Dhamma Dira, for blood from the head. So Rashi says it doesn't mean bleeding from the head. It means the person has a headache because of blood. High blood pressure, maybe, whatever. Anyway, Lacey Shubina, you should take, I have to print out papers over here with there's so many unusual terms over here I have to find online and print out myself a cheat sheet to be able to use. You take Shubina, which is a species of cedar, Ubina and a willow, an arava, V'asadara and a fresh hadas, V'zesa and olives, or olive wood maybe, the chilfa and tzatzfa, or a poplar, it's a species related to willow. The chilfidiyama, and chilfidiyama, there's a couple of different possibilities. Rashi says over here it means cloves. Different other possibilities are that it's rosemary or whatever. Anyway, you take all those, the yivla, and yivla, which Rashi says is some type of herb. The lishlatinu bahadi hadori, you cook them all together. To make like a broth. The lintel plasmei akasia ahai gisadiresha, or plasmei akasia ahai gisadiresha, and then he poured 300 cups of the mixture on one side of his head and 300 cups on the other side. 300 in the Gemara often means a large number. It doesn't specifically mean 300. It's a large number. The eloi, and if not, which means either you tried it and it didn't work, or if you can't get all those ingredients. Get a white rose where all the leaves grow on one side of the stem. The lishlake and boil it up. The lintel shikin kasia high gisadiresha, shikin kasia high gisadiresha, and you pour 60 cups of it again. 60 is also sometimes means a large number on one side of the head and 60 on the other. Next one, the tzlichsa, for tzlichsa, which actually says is ke'eb chatzia roish, a headache on half the head, so a migraine apparently. Lefi Tanagola Bora, you take a Tanagola Bora, the one that we mentioned from the story before, a hoopoo. Velishchate Bezuzah Chivara, Ahu Gesed Kayevle. Shechte using a white, meaning a new silver zuz, over the half of the head that hurts. Chivara means white, so silver. Zuzah Chivara means, and it also means white as in new, not like where it's old and tarnished. So you shech the bird using that Zuzah Chivara. Over the side of the head which hurts. But be careful the blood doesn't get into your eyes because it can blind you. Then hang this shechted tanagol abar on the mezuzah, on the doorpost of the door. So this way, as you go in, you'll always rub against it, and as you go out, you'll always rub against it. And that'll be the cure. No, against the dead bird hanging on them. No, mezuzah doesn't mean over here the mezuzah as in the one that has shvayt zom. Mezuzah means the doorpost. The bird is hanging on the doorpost. So in those shiurim b'hagodes chazal, by the way, in that series over there, they have some interesting vertlach on these things. He explains a lot of these maladies and a lot of these remedies as basically they're talking about basically various kinds of psychological or ruchniistic difficulties a person has. He says, for example, about the migraine one. He says a migraine where half the head hurts. So symbolically, it represents a person who sees like a glass is half empty. Half my head hurts and I can't do anything because of it. So what do? Remind him of the town of Gobara. The town of Gobara lives a very hard life out there in the deserts and whatever, but it doesn't just say it's a hard life, that's it. It goes, it does something. It goes and tries to make the place into a cultivable place. So sheft it over your head, have it on the drawers so you're always rubbing by it as you go in and out. Eventually, you'll absorb the message, be more like the town of Gobara. Ignore the half that's hurting, focus on the half that's not hurting. This Shurim Bahagodis Chazal, I don't remember the author's name, Gebhard, I think. And it's an interesting part. He says similar things about all these things. Says the Gemara, the Baruchti, for Baruchti, which Rashi defines as Rashi over here and in a few places in Shas uses the word for it that basically means cataracts. There's different other possibilities that people bring up. It might mean glaucoma. There's a few possibilities. Anyway,
eye disease,
some kind of eye disease. Let's see, Akrava the Sheb Chumri. Get a scorpion that has 7 colors, meaning Rashi says as it gets older, it gets different colors on it. So get an old scorpion of 7 different colors, or I've seen another explanation also that Sheb Chumri means it has 7 knots, not knots, like 7 bumps on its tail, like it grows layers on its tail as it gets older. V'nishchet kauki mansa kuchla b'chada mansa minei, grind together 2 parts of koichol, which is a blue eye powder, and one part of that's a powder that they used to apply to the eyes. It's made out of I don't remember actually, but it's mentioned throughout Shas. They used to use it for as a cure, as well as they also used to use it as makeup. So it's a blue eye makeup. Okay, so grind together 2 parts of that, the chod mansamine and 1 part of the scorpion. Vilimla tlosim kachli b'hayena. Then put 3 droppers full. Rashi explains that a mikhel is like you take, for example, a bird's feather or a piece of wood, and whenever you use that, usually to apply the coil into the eye, like a dropper. So put 2-3 dropper fulls in one eye with tlosim kachli b'hayena and 3 droppers full in the other eye. Tseiloi, limli, don't put any more than that of this mixture. Do you like? Because if you put too much poka ene, it can make your eye fall out. It's strong. It's such a strong medicine.
There is some sort of blue liquid that they use in chemistry. I forget it.
I don't know if it's the same one. It could be. Next, the shabrudi deloya. When a person has night blindness. So either they don't have enough vitamin A, or it means maybe that a little bit of light also overwhelms their eyes, whatever. Nasi Shudra Barka, take a rope made out of animal hair. V'nasi Chadakora Mine V'Chadakora Mikalba, tie one end of it to your leg, and the other end to the leg of a dog. Then you walk along there and let children rattle broken pieces of pottery behind you. The lame relay, and as they're rattling it, let them say this incantation, also kalva achsa tanagola, old dog, foolish rooster. It's a lachash, it's an incantation. Whether you're allowed to use such things in halacha is a whole other question that's based on this gemara. Obviously you can, at least in some cases. Then the Asa Kalva literally translated, Zokin Kelev, Shota Tanago, old dog or old man dog, maybe Shota Tanago, fool rooster. That's a lachash anyway. The Ligbi Shev Umtsu B'Shiva Bati, then collect 7 pieces of meat from 7 different houses. They should put all of them in the hole where the door hinge turns. Hinges in those days, we talk about in many places, you had one hinge pin that went into the top into the lintel and one that went into the ground. So put these 7 pieces of meat in the bottom hole over there where the hinge turns. And then go eat these 7 pieces. This person who's suffering from this Shabir Deloria should go and eat them on the garbage heap of the city. After that, lifshit shudrabraka, untie this rope made out of hair. The name Ruhachi, and people should say like this, Shabriri the Pliny by Plinissa, Shabkinu the Pliny by Plinissa, the Shabriri, the blindness of Pliny ben Plinis, leave alone Pliny ben Plinis. Also an incantation. The Lechru the Kalba the Rabisa de Ene, and it should, the Lechru the Kalba the Rabisa de Ene, and the Kalba the Rabisa de Ene, and something, we'll explain in a second what Velechru means, the dog in the pupil of its eye. There's a few different explanations of what Velechru means. It can mean to blow at it, It can mean that they should burn it, and that is part of the cure as well. Like you burn the dog's eye, and then that way it cures the person's eye. Or, as Chachmei Anglia say, stab it, and of course, possibly the eye of the dog. Yeah, that's Saba Lachaim, but okay, when you're doing it to cure a person, it's no different than any other medical procedure, I guess. Well, a fourth possibility actually is that this is also part of the incantation. You're saying the Shabruti, leave this person alone and go into the dog's eye. Right? You're making the dog as like the substitute for the person. Next, the Shabruti Mama, for gay blindness.
Magic.
And some of this is magic, so yeah, that's
what we're asking the Eivishter, you know.
No, obviously, you ask the Eivishter, but you're supposed to also use whatever medical procedures are available. Nowadays, a person has Shabruta Jalelia. If it's a lack of vitamin A, for example, they'd give them vitamin A. In those times, this is what they had. Obviously, you're diving into the Eivishter as well, yeah. Next, the Shabruta Di Mama for gay blindness, Lazy Shiva Sumki Megaba De Chevasa, takes 7 spleens, or the Aruch says it means pieces of lean meat, from seven shechted animals, roast them on a piece of over an earthenware container that's usually used by a bloodletter. Usually, of course, you wouldn't eat out of such a thing, but in this case you do. The lake of Iyum Gavayv in Ishachrin Me'avrai, the person who is suffering from the Shabir Di Mama should sit inside the house, another person should sit outside. The name of Avira, the blind person, the one who's suffering from the disease, should tell the other one, Havli Deichel, give me and let me eat. The name of Leicha, not the other, but the other one who has normal sight, tell him, Sav Eichel, go to hear or take. Ubasa de Achil, after he eats, Lisbere Lachaspa, break this piece of earthenware that you use to roast the meat on. The Eloi Hadri Levei, because if you don't, then the disease may return. Next, Ludama de Osimin Chira, for blood from the nostrils, so nosebleed. Leisa gathered Koyan to Shmei Levi, get a person who is a Koyan, whose name is Levi, let him write on a piece of paper or whatever, let him write the word Levi backwards. Lamed, Vav, Yud. In that order. The Eloi, and if not, meaning either you tried it, or it didn't work, or you didn't feel you couldn't find a Koyan with that name, Lace Inish Mahama, just get any person, Vinichtav Lahim, let him write him as follows on a piece of paper. Ano Papi Shila Barsunki, again Lamafreya, have him write backwards the words Ano Papi Shila Barsunki. I Papi Shila, the son of Sunki. Again, some kind of formula, some kind of incantation. You write it backwards and it works. The Eloi, and if not, Nichtav Lahochi, then you should write like this. Tam, another incantation, Tam Dliba Me Kesef, Tam Dliba Me Pagam. Literally means the taste of a bucket in silver water, the taste of a bucket in bad water. But again, it's another lachash, another incantation. The Eloi, and if not, again, you've tried all these things and it didn't work, or you couldn't find somebody to do any of these things. Lasik Ikra Da Aspasta, get roots of aspasta, which is sort of like alfalfa. It's like a grass that's primarily used for animal food. The Ashla de Puria Atika, also take a rope from an old bed, the Kurtisa, and take paper made out of rags, Umariki, and saffron, or safflower, the Sumka de Luliva, and the red stuff that grows on a lulav, like the moth that you often have on the back of a lulav, that seems to be how Rashi explains it. The Niklinu Badi Adodi, burn all those things together. The Lasi Gvava Damra, then take a piece of wool, a hank of wool. The Nigdo Tauti Psilasa, roll two wicks out of the wool. It actually seems to have to do with just one wick. The Lit Mishpachala, dip that in vinegar. Vinig Gadbal Bakitma Hadain, roll it then after you soaked in the vinegar, roll it in this ash mixture that you just made from these different things you burnt together. Vinesa Vinichiri and put it in the person's nostrils and that'll stop the bleeding. The caches have alkaline whenever they do have a certain property to stop bleeding. Now, there's another place where you might mention that a person has a wound, you're not allowed to put ashes on it, because then inevitably it makes a permanent mark, and it's a little bit like tattooing. The ashes have a certain power to heal wounds, so I guess that's the logic behind here. The Eloi, and if not, left the Amas Amayim to Ozlos Mizrach Klapim Ayrev, you should find a water channel that runs east to west, He should step so that he has one foot on one side and one foot on the other side of the stream. Then he should take with his right hand take some of the mud next to the bank of the river from under his left foot. And use his left hand to scoop some up from under his right foot, so like that. Again, roll out two wicks made out of wool. Soak them, or dip them, into this mud. And put those in his nostrils.
Not bad.
Yeah. And if all of that lace of tussimaziva, he should sit under a gutter, under a rain gutter like that runs off the roof of a house. The nights of Maya Velishtu LA, they should bring water and pour it on him. They pour the water through the gutter and it starts dripping on his head. The laborer, they should say, Maya, just as this water stops. Lipstick dummy to Pliny by Plonisa. Then they let the blood of Pliny, Ben Pliny, stop.
The nosebleed,
yeah. Next, the Dhamma de Ostomy Puma, if you have the Dhamma de Ostomy Puma, a person who has blood coming from his mouth. But Kinan led the Gila de Chitza. What we need to do is we need to first test this blood using a wheat straw. You stick a straw from means wheat. So the straw from the stalk that the wheat grew on. Take a piece of that and check the blood. If the blood sticks there, mireyaka, see, then you know the blood is coming from the lungs, the isbetakanta, and there will be a way to fix it, there will be a way to cure such a person. The iloy, and if not, if it doesn't stick, mikabdaka, see, then you know this blood comes from the liver, the less betakanta, and then there's no hope for the person. What do you mean? We learn the other way around in the Mishnah in Chulin, where it talks about the different tefes. It says there, if the liver is completely removed, there's nothing left of it, then the animal is tefe. So you need the whole thing to be removed in order for it to be tefe, not just part of it. On the other hand, if the lungs have a hole or any part of them is missing. So it should be the other way around. Blood from the lungs should be fatal, and blood from the liver ought to be something that you can cure. The answer is, yes, but once the blood is already coming from his mouth, then we have to assume the liver has been completely dissolved. So it's all gone. Which actually, this gets into a considerable discussion among the poskim about when you have it. So what does this mean? If you check an animal and you find part of the liver is dissolved, is it still kosher? As long as you have the Gemara explains whether you need certain parts of it to still be intact and then it can regenerate. But if it's dissolved, if it's liquefied, is the Gemara saying over here that's no good? Or is it saying that if you find part of it is liquefied, rather, if you find part of it is liquefied and the rest is intact, is that still okay? The rest of it will regenerate. Well, maybe it means once part of it is liquefied, eventually the whole thing is going to, and then it's changed. Different ways of understanding the piece of Gemara over here. Anyway. So getting back to, we said if the blood is coming from the lungs and therefore it sticks to the straw, then there's a way to fix the situation, there's a way to cure him. My takante, how do you do it? Let us shiva kuni mipirma de silka, take seven... One second, I'm trying to find over here. I had a whole bunch of translations of many of these words. I can't find them right now. Okay, I don't know, whatever, fine. Yeah, okay, here it is. Shiva kuni mipirma de silka, seven fistfuls of slices of beets, the shiva kuni pirma de karti, and seven handfuls of slices of leeks, the chamisha kuni prida, five handfuls of prida. It actually says two possibilities what prida is. Either it means some type of herb, or it can mean a wood or something from a wild cherry tree. Anyway, three handfuls of lentils, the kuna de chamona, one handful of cumin spice, the kuna de chavli, and a handful of chalvi is some kind of plant. They mentioned over here it might be netzacholov, the plant called in English Star of Bethlehem. Ukenegdon kantapatira, then you need to take an amount equal to all those handfuls of herbs and things that you had so far, an equal amount of fat from of intestinal fat from a firstborn animal. The livshil, cook it all together. This fat, by the way, is kosher. We're talking about the fat for that's around the small intestines, the large intestines rather, which is kosher.
The chelev is mainly the
peritoneal fat, but it's also the sheath of fat that are on various organs. We'll learn about it when we get to it in Chulin, but there's rules what's kosher fat and what's not. The fat around the large intestine is kosher fat.
Not the small intestine?
I think both, actually, maybe. I don't remember. Anyway. So take that all. The livshul, cook it all together. The lechol, and eat some of it. The lishli abasri shichra harifa getoas. And then after it, drink good, strong beer. Or to tevis, somebody says that maybe it means beer that was brewed in tevis. Anyway, that's the cure. Next, lekocha, for a disease of the, for tooth disease. Tosfos discusses a little bit the possibility that kocha, over here Rashi says it means teeth, and other places Rashi explains that kocha means the gums. Whatever it is, tooth or gum disease, whatever. Where are we? Omer Rav Bar Avona, leifit tuma yichida, take a garlic that grows as one clove on the bulb. Usually you have many cloves growing on the bulb. Tuma is shum, yeah, it is garlic. Yichida, that grows one clove of it by itself. V'nimrithe b'mishcha, Nimrasib mishcha and stir it in oil. The Nimrasib actually says you shall kind of grind it in oil and in salt. The nesve atufroi de ulyona darugisa de kaivle. Put this mixture on the side on which it hurts. The nebulic dan for delicia, and then make a little ring of dough around that mixture on the thumbnail. Then he's done the biscuit, but be careful it doesn't touch the flesh, the actual skin, because this mixture is bad, it can give a person faras. Next, lechinchi, for disease of chinchi. Rashi says it means boils in the throat, like tonsillitis or whatever. Amr Yechanan, chumsi ki mamru. The leaves of chumsi, which is a plant in English, it's called pellitory, is just as good for it as mamru, which is a type of grass. I've seen a few possibilities what it is. The ikra de chumsi odif, apparently mamru was a known cure for this. The ikra de chumsi odif ni mamru, and the roots of chumsi are even better than mamru. What you should do is v'ninket b'pume, hold some of it in your mouth for a while. That'll help. Hani l'uchmi. This is, you do that in order to stop the disease from continuing. So you haven't actually done anything with the boils or whatever, but at least you're preventing them from spreading. Yeah. Levashuli, to make them ripen, so that like all the pus gets in one place, and then eventually you can lance it, and it'll all come out. Then you need something else for that. Lighti pori duration after, take bran that stays at the top of the sieve when you sift. When you sift flour, you have some bran that stays on the top of it. Take lentils still with the dirt that came with them when you picked them or uprooted them or whatever. The shuvlalisa, and shuvlalisa is fenugreek, the spice. The chumarta de kshusa, and the flowers of kshus, which is hops. The ninkit kam guza bapume, and put about a nut sized piece of this mixture in your mouth. That'll help these boils come to a head. Liftuchi, to actually make them open up so that they can drain. Limpach le chavre tachle chivarta begili de chitza. You should have a friend take white cress and blow it through a wheat straw into his mouth. I guess the idea is that the crest is sharp, and therefore the ends of it like will poke into the boils and open them up. Lafsuki, then to make healthy flesh grow there instead of where the boils were. like the Afro Matilda debate, if you say, take dirt that was that from the shadow of from under the shadow of stones that are set up as a as an outhouse. So like you have, and we learned in various places in Shas, they didn't have bathrooms. They set up like a bunch of stones as a makeshift place to go to the bathroom. So take dirt from under that. Yeah. The nigbal debusha, knead it with honey. The nechol and eat it. The malile and it'll help.
Eating
earth. Yeah. This earth mixed with honey. I don't know. Maybe it has. But you know what? I mean, dirt has a surprising number of antibiotics in it. Think of how many antibiotics they get nowadays from various soil samples. Maybe the point is that there's some kind of bacteria or some kind of fungus or whatever. Who knows? That's you know that helps. Yeah.
The treat now is called certain types of diarrhea with feces.
Yeah, there is that. Okay. Next, labarsum. Rashi says that barsum is that a person has basically a runny nose. There's other people who want to say that maybe it means arthritis or maybe it means pus in the brain. Anyway, take about an acorn-sized piece of ammoniac, like ammonia, I guess. And about a walnut-sized piece of sweet chelbana. Chelbana is one of the spices in the Torah. Usually it has a very strong smell, but apparently there's a sweet kind as well. Chelbanissa is the same as chelbana, yeah.
What is it in English?
In English it's called galbanum, but unless you go to an apothecary, that's not going to help you much. Yeah. It's a resin from some kind of tree, I think, yeah. And a spoonful of white honey. I don't know what white honey is, but okay. And a natla full. A natla is about a revius. A natla bas mechuzah. The natla, the size they used in mechuzah, which holds about a revius of chamra nakida of good clear non red wine. Rashi says a good clear white wine. Cook all these things together. When the nishtur, the first ingredient, the ammonia, is the ammoniac, whatever, is cooked, then you know the whole thing is cooked. Then you know the mixture is ready. And then I guess the idea is that you give some of it to him to eat or something. The Eloi, if not, again, if you can't get all these ingredients or it doesn't work, take a revius of milk from a goat. The is a chibauti from a white goat. Then it's taifei aflaf kilchi karba. Drip it over three stalks of cabbage. The nivchashay begavza the marmahin and stir it. You stir the pot using a piece of wood from a marmahin tree. It's the name of a tree. Rashi doesn't define it. V'chid boshel. When this piece of wood from the marmahin is cooked, boshel lekula, then you know the whole thing is ready. The eloi, and if not, leisi nafti de kal b'chivra, take the waste of the dung from a white dog, the nigbul benatva, knead it together with balsam. Not for shelus v'chelbana that we say in the Samana Militaris. So knead it with balsam. The kama de epsha, and to the extent that you as much as possible, and don't use this l'chatchila nachkalelech. L'chatchila you should not use this remedy, which involves eating dog waste. Demafric, because it can make a person's organs come apart. It can make a person's limbs come apart. The order has a different gear sign it that it can make a person sterile. So basically, like this one involving the dog stuff is like the last resort. The last resort. If nothing else has worked. Next, ligira. For gira, which Rashi says means a stabbing kind of pain. Shooting pains. Lazy gira delusa. Take an out, a spunter, I'm not sure, a spoint. Like it feels like something pointing and then poking into you, I guess. Lazy gira delusa. Take an arrow of Lilith. Rashi says it's an arrow-shaped stone that folds together with hail. So maybe a meteorite or something. the nipre, turn it over so that the pointing e- so that the pointy end is facing down. The nishte maya ilave, pour water over this meteorite or whatever it is. The nishte and drink that. The iloy, and if not, leisimi maya de ishte minero kalbavaleya, take water that a dog drank from at night. But be careful that this water wasn't that it wasn't a place where snakes are common, because you can't drink water that was left open, because a snake may have drunk from it, as we learned throughout Shas. Next, ligiluya. What if taka a person has drunk uncovered wine, uncovered water, or whatever? Anpaka de chamra chaya. You should drink an anpak, which is another word for a revius, of undiluted wine. Diluya is water or any other various other kinds of liquids that were left uncovered, and the concern is that a snake may have drunk from them. So then injected venom into it. Yeah. So therefore you drink an amphica, which is about a revius of undiluted wine. Next, lamursa for what's mursa is an abscess. You should drink anpkad chamra ba'ala. Klug. It's a French word for an abscess. Yeah. You should drink anpkad chamra ba'ala tulana. You should drink an anpak, again about a revius of wine, mixed with ala tulana. Ala is aloes. Tulana Rashi says like cilantro, red. So
aloe.
Ala is aloe. They use it nowadays in various things for your skin and whatever. It's a plant. Yeah. What? No. Aloe. A-L-O-E. Yeah. But ala tulana with red ala. Okay. But pircha deliva for the heart seeming to fly away. So Rashi explains it to me like the person is fainting. And a different explanation is that maybe it means like a person has a person's heartbeat is fluttering. Anyway, leisi tzlas drushiyasa desari, take three loaves of barley bread, v'nishtirinu b'kamcha, spread them with kamcha, which is kutach, the famous dip that they used in Babel in those days, made out of sour cream breadcrumbs and salt. So spread some of that on the bread. This kamcha after it's less than 40 days since it was made. V'nechol, and eat some of it. V'nishli, abasayu chamer ma'oka, and after that drink diluted wine. That's going to make things worse for him, that kind of food. No, I'm kind of diluted wine, but I guess the point is, the barley bread with kutach is not going to be so good for him. Ella, so Ravina tells him, I'm no ledukra de liba amri. You're right. This thing that I just said about the barley bread and the kutach, the kamcha, that was meant for heaviness of heart. That's meant for a person, maybe angina or something like that, I don't know. Lepircha de liba, on the other hand, for fluttering heart, where a person's feeling weak, where a person's feeling faint, then you need something light. Then you need three loaves of wheat bread, which is easier on a person than barley bread. Spread them with honey, which again is easier on you than kamcha. Eat some of it. And drink undiluted wine after that. Next, for heart pain. So, I don't know, maybe also angina, maybe something else, I don't know. Take three egg-sized pieces of mint, obey also the kamona, one egg-sized piece of kamon, of cumin, obey also the shumshumi, and one egg-sized thing of a container of sesame. For stomach pain, take 300 long peppers. The long peppers, by the way, aren't the ones that we have in the stores nowadays. Those are native to America. I'm not real sure what long peppers are in Gemara terminology. Regular peppers are the peppercorns, like they have the black pepper and white pepper
ones.
Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, b'chol yom nishti meyu minayu b'chamra, and every day drink 100 of them diluted in wine. Rovin d'minerish avad le'lebrati d'ra'ashi meyu b'chamshin mehani, didan. Rovin from Neresh used for Rav Ashi's daughter, who had stomach pains, he used 150 of regular Pilpulin, not the long one. The Itse and the Itasia, and she was cured. So we see, in other words, that 100, you need 100 long ones or 150 regular ones also work. Pirza. Next, for...
Any pain
that's a general pain, I guess. I don't know. Lakirza, for Rashi says worms in the stomach, intestinal worms. Where are we? Anapka de chamra, atrafadara. You want an anpek, again, about a revius of wine in with a leaf of laurel, from a leaf from the laurel tree. Lakirza chibra, for white worms, for white intestinal worms. Lefi bizra gaugula, take a seed of an arugula plant, v'nitzayri the shistag, wrap it in pieces of cotton, in strips of cotton, v'nitzayri the maya, soak it in water, v'nishkiye and drink it. V'nizdaya,
what bizra the...
Bizra de gaugula means seeds of arugula.
Arugula is what?
Arugula is a plant. You can find it in the stores. They use it as a garnish and salads and whatnot. The Gemara has various good things to say about it. We look at Yoma, for example, but eating it makes a person's eyesight better. Different things, yeah. Okay. Hey, take that. When it's tired of the shistag, wrap it in shistag, which Rashi says means a piece of cotton cloth. When it's tired of the maya, soak it in water, v'nishtiye, and drink it. When it's dar, mibinsa, but be careful not to swallow the actual seed, the eloy, because if you do menachvila the mayone, it can make a hole in the stomach, maybe give them ulcers, I don't know. Next, lemesar, to bind up, if a person has diarrhea and they need to treat it. Sisin retiva b'maya, you use sisin, which is a plant, it's called pennywort in English, fresh sisin soaked in water. The mishra, to loosen things, the person's constipated and they need to be loosened up. The other way around, yevesh b'maya, take dry pennywort and soak that in water. The simonach, and the way to remember which one is which, it's a retiva the socher nahara. Fresh itza is something that is a kind of grass, fresh itza that stops up the river. Whether they used it to dam up rivers when it's fresh. When it's dry, it just falls apart. So therefore, that helps you remember that the fresh stuff is what you need to use to stop up the diarrhea. Next, latachla, for a swollen spleen. Lacey shev, latachla means the spleen, so it actually doesn't mean the swollen. The spleen is an internal organ. And it's swollen because of disease or whatever, I don't know. Anyway, lacey shev vini demaya, take seven leeches that grow in the water, seven water leeches. V'niyab shinu betula, dry them out in the shade. V'chol yom nishti tauti or tlos b'chamra, every day drink two or three of them soaked in wine. Which gets into a question before we should discuss it. You're allowed to use some chase like that for medicine. This is one of the sources that's brought for the whole question of using non-kosher things for medicine. So maybe we're talking about something that's life-threatening over here, or maybe not. It's not kederach hachalase, so it would be allowed, yeah. Anyway. The eloy.
Nothing you can, right?
Yeah, so that's, if there's an alternative, then not. But the Mephoshim say, the reason why the Gemara brings this one first, again, the reason when the Gemara brings several, the Gemara is going to bring another one, but when we have all this time, we've been having some where there's an alternative, the first one is the best. If you can't do that, or if it didn't work, then try the second one, etc. This one is the best cure, is the best available cure for tachla. Therefore, yes, it involves using leeches. Okay, but you do what you have to do. That's not, you don't eat it, tachla, that's injected. Here we're talking about something you're eating.
So there's no problem.
So as far as I know, but that's something to ask the rub, but as far as I know, it's not an issue. Okay. Next, the eloy, if not, lefi tachla, it's the power to delay yiftach, take a spleen from a goat, or the oral says a bird, delay yiftach, that has never given birth, v'nitachya b'tanura, roast it in the oven. Vinuki lahade, put it next to him. Next to the person who's suffering from the illness. Vinema and say, Kiheshi di yavish hai tachla, just as the spleen has dried out. Niyavish tachla de plenty replenisa, let plenty spleen dry out, in other words, become healthy again. The eloy, and if that still doesn't work, litchie beni ubi de besachadza, press it. Sorry, I said before that roast it. No, you press it in the oven. You press it in the oven another year. If not, then you press it bene urbi de besachadja between the rows of bricks in a new house. v'nemahachi, and say the same thing, just as it dried out, this person's skin should dry out. And you should no, not you say the same thing. Sorry, you say v'nemah. He hechid yavish ha yodon niyavish tachlaya to plenty b'plenis. So just as this has dried out, so that the toil of so and so should dry out. V'iloy, and if I skipped a couple of lines. Yeah, sorry. No, you press it between the bricks in a new house, for name of Hachi, and you say the same incantation just as it dried out, this person's spleen should dry out. The Eloi, if not, Livki Shikhba the Shach of the Shabsa, find a dead person who died on Shabbos, Vinishkil Yode, take his hand, this is before he's buried, obviously, take his hand, Vinoshayakhle, place it on the spleen of the person who's sick. V'nema, and say as follows, Kihechen, Yavish, Hayada, just as this hand has dried out, Niyavish Tachlai, the Pliny Baplanissa, so Pliny and Plinus's spleen should dry out. Which also gets into a question that Mephoshim have, the whole question of having Hanah from the mess. The answer is not the normal way of having Hanah, and you're not doing anything to the mess per se. What about, is a Kohen allowed to use this? Some sort of rather interesting thing, that maybe a Kohen is allowed to use this under the circumstances.
Can you use a mess?
That's part of the question, is Bechlau, can you use a mess? And then also, if he's a Kohen, so if you've gone through the various ones and it still hasn't helped yet, and then you're down to this one, then yeah. The Eloi, if not, Nesi Benisa, take a fish, V'nitviye Benapcha, roast it in a blacksmith shop, V'nechle B'mayad Benapcha, eat it together with the water that the blacksmith uses to quench the metal, after you've hammered out or whatever metal, you have to quench it in water to cool it off and make it strengthen it, so you drink it with some of that water. That contains iron, or the spleen that recycles red blood cells. Maybe that's the point. It does some good in that way. Eat it together with water. Eat it, I guess, soaked in water from the blacksmith. And also drink some of the water from the blacksmith shop. Another case, speaking of, how who is it to have a shasim ayah de benapcha? In fact, it once happened, there was a goat that used to drink water from a blacksmith shop. Ishtachit, eventually, when they shechted the goat, they couldn't find it, didn't have a spleen at all. It had dried up so much from that. So we see that that's effective. The Eloi, and if all of that still hasn't helped, lift a chavisa de chamer l'shmei, open a new barrel of wine in his name. Meaning, basically, Rashi says, he should drink a lot of good wine. And that'll cure him. I guess I don't know. Okay. If the guy had wine, he wouldn't have had to come to you in the first place. Wine is a good cure for a lot of things. Ella, no. What it should be rather, miragul pas shacharis. What he should do is get used to eating bread in the morning, the malu l'kulik kufi, because that's good for the whole body. The Gemara mentioned in a few places, Bokama and in some other places, that eating pas shachris is very effective against a lot of different problems. Although it's interesting, in Shulchan Aruch it says, in Shulchan Aruch it brings from Mordechai, the Magen Avraham actually brings from the Mordechai, it's not just any old pas shachris, not just any loaf of bread that you get from the store. Basically, he says it would have to be wheat that was grown in a desolate area where there's no noise, there's not maybe organic, maybe the idea is it should be organic, so they never said enough. Pesticides and whatever, but yeah, basically, like there's no noise of traffic, there's no noise of various other things. Only then would it be effective. So therefore, practically speaking, the Magen Avraham says, practically speaking, most people don't eat pas shachris nowadays because where are you going to find such wheat? But yeah, anyway.
Pas shachris can be mizneres, but has to be
mezuzah. L'chora pas means bread, but I don't know. The Maisa, other Achronim say, look, you know, okay, maybe you can't find bread that meets Mordechai's specifications. Eat some other bread; it'll still do you some good. Yeah. Next. Lurushchasa for hemorrhoids. Lacy akika, take akika, which is acacia. Actually, Rashi translates it differently. Rashi translates it as an herb. So, okay. Anyway. The ilava and aloe. The ispircha and pure silver. Rashi says kesef chai, which would mean mercury. Umartecha. Kesef chai is mercury, yeah. Umartecha and dros, like the dregs of silver, like when they dig out metals from the ground and then afterwards they refine them. What's it called? The stuff they dig out, the ore. Silver ore, yeah. The chumaut of the pilon and a button of filon. Filon is an herb. Rashi describes it as women put in their oil mixed with an herb called pilon, which looks like grape leaves, and they use it for as perfume or whatever. So take a button, meaning a container of that. Shiofa de chaminta and the dung of doves, or Rashi brings from his teacher that it means the dung of chickens. And hold it the shachke de kitna in worn out in worn out cotton clothes, the kaita, if it's during the summer, because cotton is lightweight. Chicken dung, all these ingredients together. You're putting all these things together. So you use kitna means linen, because linen is lightweight, so it's better for the summer. Or the ama gufa besitna, you use cotton if it's during the winter, because cotton is warmer. And I guess the idea is Rashi says yosim ba'osim makom, place it in the area where the hemorrhoids are, and that whole concoction together will help. The Eloi, if not, lishke shichra marka, let him drink diluted beer. Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. Never tried. Never had hemorrhoids. I don't like beer. Next, l'shigroina. Shigroina, Rashi says, is the disease of the hips and the pelvis and whatever. So maybe I've seen somebody explain maybe it's sciatica. Yeah. Anyway, what did you say? That's right. It could be. Yeah. Anyway. For that, lazy pastia de munini, take a pot of brine from small fish. Vnigandere shitin zimni aho matachte, roll it 60 times on one hip, the shitin zimni aho matachte, and 60 times on the other hip.
Shitin
means 60. So 60 times roll it on one hip, and 60 times on the other. With smirta for bladder stones, nasi tlaf nitufiyisa mishcha de kufra, take 3 drops of oil.
Urinary
bladder stone. Rashi says the stone actually gets stuck in the male organ and it prevents urine from going through. So kidney stones, I guess, kidney stones that have gotten stuck in the ureter, I guess. Yeah, let's say that. So the remedy is mishcha de kufra, 3 drops of oil of kufra is pitch of tar, so 3 drops of tar oil,
or tar
oil from tar, I guess, I don't know. Rashi describes it. Psoilus shel zephes vi itron. It's like turpentine or something like that, I guess. So 3 drops of that, or plasnit fius of itzra de kauti, 3 drops of extract of leeks. You squeeze leeks and then take 3 drops of that. Or plasnit fius of chamer nakiga, 3 drops of clear white wine. Then you inject it for a man. You inject it into the organ, and then into the organ, and for the woman into the corresponding place in her urinary system. The Eloi, and if not, if you can't get the ingredients or it didn't work, take the handle of a flask of a wine skin or whatever, some other kind of container like that. If it's a man who's suffering from it, hang it on his organ. If it's a woman, hang it on her breast. The Eva.
A handle,
yeah. If you take the handle, you cut off the handle. Some of these are medical things. Some of these are more like skulas. So this one is skula, I guess. I don't know. The Eloi, if not, lazy chutad is horisa, the shad the shadise druma bas druma, take a red thread that was spun by a woman who is suspect of immorality, who is the daughter of a woman who is also suspected of immorality. Druma, we learned in Yavamas, is an expression meaning like people talk about them. Literally, let the ishba'am or the ishba'adin, and again, if it's a man, hang it on his organ, if it's a woman, hang it on her breast. The Eloi, if not that, Leisik kina de zacher in a kaver, take a louse from a man and a louse from a woman, the little ishba'amul, the ishba'is a makam, and again hang it, if it's a man, hang it on the organ, if it's a woman, hang it in that area also, in her private part. V'chim mashtin, when the person finally does pass water, when the person is finally able to urinate after whatever of these cures, nishtin asisna yuveshta, they should urinate onto a dry thorn bush. But you know the dasha, in a dry thorn bush. But you know the dasha at the hinge hole of a door. And pay attention to the stone that comes out. Hold on to it, the malyula kulu tzimra, because it's good for all kinds of fevers. Or the stone itself is a good remedy for fever. Or the oroch explains it means it's good for other kinds of stones later on. If you have the same person or a different person who again suffers from kidney stones or what have you, such a stone that was passed by a person who suffered from it will help. And then we'll continue tomorrow, Rav Hashem.